Hey everyone, this is Heavy Lifting with Uncle Gary, the weekly podcast for a stronger biblical worldview, exclusively on the Fight Laugh Feast Network.
As we're working our way slowly through David Chilton's Paradise Restored, we are on chapter 3 right now. And chapter 3 is entitled The Paradise Theme. And one of the it's a short chapter, but one of the statements in here that David Chilton writes is, one of the basic themes of Scripture is that salvation restores man to his original purpose. In the beginning, God created man in his own image in order that man would have dominion. That task of dominion began in the Garden of Eden, but it was not supposed to end there, for man was ordered to have dominion over the whole earth. And that's ultimately what Chilton would say, that's ultimately what we see at the end. You know, we see in the book of Revelation that there's a city. It's not just two people in a garden. There's a full, the city of God, the New Jerusalem, comes out of heaven. It's really in the midst of the garden, but it's a city, and it's influencing the whole world.
Yeah, and of course a lot of people in terms of eschatology see the last two chapters of the book of Revelation as in the distant future after the second coming of Christ, that this is a heavenly vision about things that take place in heaven. But there are a lot of people in who interpret the book of Revelation that Revelation chapters 21 and 22 actually refer to what the redemptive work of Jesus Christ did. And so what you're seeing there is a symbolism of the restoration, not of a sinless nature of things in terms of new things, but what Jesus has done for us makes all of this possible, that we can, as David writes here, to be restored to our original purpose.
Yeah.
And that original purpose is to manifest the work of Christ.
To work and tend the garden, really.
Yeah, in every area of life. Sin is still an aspect of all of that, but the power of the Spirit and so forth makes it possible to be able to do. Again, not in a sinless state. And again, there are people who continue to resist this. I remember in a debate that Gary North and I had with Thomas Ice and Dave Hunt back in 1988. I can't believe it was that long ago. And Dave Hunt just kind of ridiculed this idea of this dominion mandate. He said, "This is just having dominion over the animal creation, and that's all this is." And so we don't have dominion over other men. Well, true, we don't have dominion over other men in sense of forcing compliance of them. And of course, since this was before the fall, there wasn't any sin, so there was nothing to have dominion over other men. But this, God put Adam and Eve in the garden to till the garden, to bring about its full potential. That hasn't changed. We're still supposed to do that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says that, when God created everything, he declared it good. The fall did not change the nature of the created order,
right?
Because you get 1 Timothy chapter 4, where God said, where Paul writes that the creation is good. I forget the exact wording of it all, but it's essentially if you follow God's word and through the power of God's Spirit. There's nothing wrong with the created order. Everything in the created order right now is good.
Right.
We're here in the library, and there are these bookshelves. If I took off one of the rails of this book of the bookshelf and made a club out of it and beat someone to death with it, it wouldn't make that wood bad at all.
Right.
It would make me and what I did with that wood bad.
Right.
Nuclear power isn't bad, it's what you do with it. You can build bombs with it, or you can build an energy source.
Yeah, that's where sin resides.
Yeah.
Sin resides in the hearts of men.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about here. That's what salvation seeks to change, taking the heart of stone out and replacing it with a heart of flesh, but a heart of flesh that understands that spiritual change influences the entire man. So it's not just a spiritual thing, because if it was just a if our only if our only if our only problem was a spiritual sin, so in other words, it just affects the way we think, then why did Jesus come and become a real person? Jesus became a human being because sin affects our mind and our heart. It affects our whole being. And Jesus came as the God-man to fix the problem that man had and the problem that man couldn't fix himself.
Yeah, a lot of Christians think of spirituality as something ethereal, something you can't see. And I think, well, okay, so if you want to make that claim that that's what spirituality is, then you've got a problem because the devil is somebody you don't see.
Yeah.
He's a spiritual being. That's not what spirituality is. Spirituality is to be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. You want to be spiritual. It doesn't mean going out into the wilderness somewhere and building yourself a tower and living in it and removing yourself from the physical world completely.
Right. Because you take the sin with you.
Yeah. Wherever you go, I guess that's the premise of Pilgrim's Progress. You know, he's carrying that burden around everywhere he goes.
Right.
The difference is that what Jesus changes you. I mean, again, I've been a Christian for quite a while. I am not the person I was in 1973.
Right.
I'm still a sinner, but at the same time, I'm not sinning like I used to sin, and I won't be perfect this side of the grave, but I'm a radically different person. And if you get enough Christians out there who are radically different, you change the world.
Right.
In fact, there is a history of the world being changed by radically changed Christians.
Right.
William Wilberforce is a perfect example, who first worked to get rid of the slave trade, and he did that, spent a lot of time, almost like 50 years of his life, getting rid of the slave trade. And by the way, in previous podcasts, we talked about this spillover effect of Christianity, what became cultural Christianity. Not everybody who voted against the slave trade was a self-professing Christian. Wilberforce's efforts first convinced Christians and then convinced non-Christians that the slave trade was evil. They didn't have to be converted in order to be affected by it all. And so Wilberforce was, in essence, taking dominion over the sinfulness of the created order and by people who in fact sin. And so slave trade goes first, and after that, they were able to eliminate slavery in Great Britain without a war. Here in
right.
the United States, we ended up fighting a war and ended up by 600,000.
Yeah.
Think of that, 600,000 people killed, not to count in the wounded and so forth. And we ended up with a centralized government. We ended up with discrimination laws, Jim Crow, and the whole bit. So this idea of taking dominion is a real thing, and it does in fact happen, and it has happened.
David Chilton quotes Cornelius Van Til, and he says that Van Til has pointed out that the redemptive revelation of God had to be as comprehensive as the sweep of sin. Redemption must, in the nature of the case, be for the whole world. This does not mean that it must save every individual sinner in the world. It does mean, however, that the created universe, which has been created as a unit, must also be saved as a unit. And I think of there's a second century writing called the Epistle to Diognetus, or Diognetus, or however you say that. And in there he says, as the soul is in the body, so as your individual soul is in your body, so Christians are in the world. So Christians are, in a sense, the soul of the entire world. And if you get enough Christians thinking Christianly, doing Christian things, creating a Christian culture, you by default have a Christian culture that everybody lives in and everybody enjoys.
And people benefit from it.
Right.
I grew up in suburbs of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I never heard the gospel. I mean, I went to Catholic church. You know, most of the other people in our neighborhood, we had the O'Briens and the O'Connors and the Blazicks, and almost everybody was, you know, went to a
Catholic
church, and the Petrie family were Jewish, but we all shared the same kind of moral basis, and we had talked about cultural Christianity in the past. We were essentially cultural Christians, and I remember sitting down at lunch with one of my high school friends who I hadn't seen in over 40 years, and I told him my story. I became a Christian in 1973. He said, "Well, Gary, we were all Christians, but we weren't.
Right?
We weren't all Christians." And it's interesting that today, it's amazing how many high school friends I run into today who are in fact Christians. When I went to my 50th high school reunion, ran into a fellow who said, "Gary, you know, we used God and government in our homeschooling." And he said, "You know, I went to high school with a guy named Gary DeMar. I wonder if it's the same person." And of course, it is the same person. And we were cultural Christians back then. But now it's amazing how many are self-identified Christians and are starting a new generation of Christianity and going beyond just the cultural aspects of it all.
Right. What David Chilton is talking about here is the scope of salvation. It's not just about getting people into heaven. It's not about getting people to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, although it's part.
That's the first step. It's not the last step. It's the first step. And this is what Peter talks about, milk, which you start off with milk and then you progress. And the writer to Hebrews says you can't stick with milk.
Right.
You need to have your senses trained to discern good and evil, and you need meat at beyond just the milk stage.
Yeah, and that's what Jesus says at the end of the Great Commission, or not at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, which is the Great Commission, where he says, "Go forth and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe what
everything
that I've commanded you."
Yeah.
And if you think back to Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." Well, the things revealed is the entire Bible.
Yeah, well, it's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scriptures God breathed and profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work." And so these people who say that the pastor should only preach the gospel, I said, okay, that's fine. Let's define what the gospel is. The gospel is good news, and part of the good news is the redemptive nature of what took place from the fall and redemption. And that's the nature of the good news. It isn't just about saving you and then taking you to heaven. It's about transforming you so that you will be re-energized to do the things that Adam and Eve were to do at the beginning in their work in the garden.
Right. So when you make a disciple of Christ, and of course it's not you that makes it, but when you bring somebody through the gospel and they believe, then their next question should be, okay, now what?
Yeah, what do I do now?
Yeah,
work out your salvation with
fear and
trembling.
And that's discipleship.
Yeah,
and that's a lifelong process. You know, the Bible's 1,000+ page book, and you're gonna tell somebody that really all that book is telling me about is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So that's it.
That's the start.
Right.
That's
where it begins.
But it isn't the end point.
Right. The scope of salvation is universal in the sense that it affects all people, it affects the whole man, and it affects the entire world. And that scope of salvation is something we're in the middle of, we're in the process of, and we are slowly transforming. We get to be a part of slowly transforming the garden into the city. And get your copy of Paradise Restored to join us on this journey.
Yeah, and it's available at AmericanVision.org, AmericanVision.org, and go to the store, and you can order it. It's a tremendous book. It's kind of a gateway into a much broader understanding of what the gospel is and a biblical worldview.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. For more information on worldview resources, visit AmericanVision.org. And don't forget to subscribe to the Gary DeMar podcast, available on iTunes and Spotify. See you next week on the Fight Laugh Feast Network.